But the last point of people, I'm going to preach a whole message about that, because that's the most positive one. Even though there's a lot of negativity, there's still positive things. Because people is the what I've entitled the message. Actually, I've entitled it People, People, People. And people are a part of our life. I've heard Dave Hardy say this. So this is not my quote, but I remember one of the first times I heard him preach about he was a blessed man and those that he's met and those that have involved in his life. And he says every time he meets somebody, he wants it to enrich his life. And that's exactly what we should want. We should want people to enrich our life. However, the truth is both God and the devil use people. Let me say that again. Both God and the devil use people to change us, God for the good and the devil for bad. And so when David comes back from the fight with Absalom, and Absalom is now dead, we find out that there's going to be other people that come into his life. Now, there's always already been some. And so every point tonight of kind of person I'm going to preach about starts with an H. And so the first person that we look at in David's life is Joab. And I'm going to read in the first eight verses, and he'll be the first point tonight, and then we'll look at others. And it was told Joab, "Behold, the king weepeth and mourneth for Absalom. And the victory that day was turned into mourning unto all the people, for the people heard say that day how the king was grieved for his son. And the people gat them," notice this, "by stealth." Now, I pastored 11 and a half years in Knobnostra, Missouri, and outside of my window, my office, was the stealth B-2 bomber. Now, the word stealth means that when that plane flies, that cannot be picked up on radar. It's stealth. Well, here the idea is that the people, since David is coming back, they stealthily, or without being seen, if you would, come back into the city because the people heard how David grieved. So the people got them by stealth that day into the city, as people being ashamed steal away when they flee in battle. But the king covered his face, and the king cried with a loud voice, "O my son Absalom, O Absalom, my son, my son." And Joab came into the house to the king and said, "Thou hast shamed this day the faces of all thy servants, which this day have saved thy life." Now, I'm just going to tell you right up front, Joab is a man, even though he's a scoundrel, and he is. He is not a man to be messed with. He's trying to help David at this time. So the first type of people that we come into our life are those who want to help us. And Joab came into the house to the king and said, "Thou hast shamed this day." In other words, Joab was not afraid to confront David about his behavior and what he was doing in the face of all of those that had saved his life and Absalom had been killed. "Thou hast shamed this day the faces of all thy servants, which this day have saved thy life and the lives of thy sons and of thy daughters and the lives of thy wives and the lives of thy concubines, in that thou lovest thine enemies and hatest thy friends." Now I'm telling you, this is a Joab rebuke. "For thou hast declared this day that thou regardest neither princes nor servants. For this day I perceive that if Absalom had lived and all we had died this day, then it had pleased thee well. Now therefore arise, go forth and speak comfortably unto thy servants, for I swear by the Lord, if thou go not forth, there will not tarry one with thee this night. And that will be worse unto thee than all the evil that befell thee from thy youth until now." So the king takes the rebuke, praise God. And I'm telling to you tonight, sometimes somebody needs to come to us and be willing to tell us the truth. People live in a society today, "Well, I don't want to get involved." Or "I don't want to tell." Listen, parents not telling their children what they should do. Sometimes your children need to be rebuked, and even more than that. Then the king arose in verse 8 and sat in the gate, and they told him, and they told unto all the people, saying, Behold, the king doth sit in the gate, and all the people came before the king, for Israel had fled every man to his tent. God, I pray as we look at Joab as a man who was trying to help David, we're going to understand tonight there's more than people that want to help us. There are people who hurt us. There are people who hoodwink us, and we don't even know what they're telling, if it's true or not. There are other people that come into our life, like a man named Barzillai who wanted to honor David and love David. And then there's others, Lord, that we'll look at tonight. People. Help us, Lord, tonight to be more like Barzillai and less like some of the tribes of Israel that we'll see in the text tonight. I pray for your help, God, and I pray for the power of God, and that as we look at people tonight, that we would be the right kind of people, godly people, holy people, people that would be the salt and the light of the earth. God, help us tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. We are a part of every person we meet in one way or another. The Bible says over in the book of Proverbs 27 that as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. And the truth is, people can affect us in a positive way or they can affect us in a negative way. They can affect us for God's good, for good, or they can try to affect us for evil. I am ashamed to say that when I got in high school to a certain point of life, I quit listening to the good influences and started listening to some bad influences. And when I began to go with those bad influences or those people that I shouldn't have been hanging around, it led me down a path I shouldn't go. Now listen, you make those choices. And you said in an independent Baptist church like Berean Baptist Church, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to know what is right and what is wrong. And so I'm just telling you, as sandpaper polishes wood and one piece of iron sharpens another piece of iron, so do people polish and sharpen us. Sometimes in a good way and sometimes in a bad way. And that's really kind of the, sometimes we use the expression we use, he or she rubs me the wrong way. Well, as we look at the life of David once again tonight, as we have for many weeks and many months, we're going to preach tonight about those people that came into David's life, some that were good and some that were bad and some that tried to help David and some that tried to honor David and some that tried to lie to David, because the truth is, when you look at the life of Ziba and Mephibosheth, one of those dudes is lying. One when David was going out and the other when David was coming in. And I'm going to tell you, people will, I call that hoodwinked. People can hoodwink you. And we should not be that kind of people. Our yea should be yea and our nay should be nay. We should be people of integrity and honesty. But I'm telling you, I've been around long enough and pastor long enough, the people can stand right in front of your face and say something to you and lie. And they hoodwink you. But there's been other people that have come into my life that have tried to help me. And I believe Joab in this case, even though Joab has issues for sure, he was trying to help David because this thing was on the brink. I mean, David is trying to come back into the city. He is trying to reestablish himself as the king that God had called him to be. Now, God called David to be the king. So there's no doubt about who the king is supposed to be. Absalom is not the king. Absalom is not the king. Absalom should not try to be the king. And by the way, we shouldn't try to be who we're not. And so there's a lot of applications that we can make, certainly, and we've made some about Absalom already. But I want you to understand, We're going to look at some of the people in David's life. And let us pray that all the people who come into our life will be used by God to teach us how to respond, how to live, how to be Christ-like. And I'm going to tell you something. We need to surround ourselves with people who are the positive, godly influences, not the negative influences of life. Right. Now, when you think about David, and there's a lot of background that I want to be reminded of. When David was run out of Jerusalem by Absalom and his army, David was a broken man. I mean, you can't get any more heartache than your own son, somebody that is your flesh and blood. I mean, if you think about it and you look at Absalom, you would probably say, humanly speaking, the outside world would say, boy, that Absalom, he's probably going to be the next king. He's probably going to be the one that takes David's place. But we know that Absalom tried to take upon himself that which did not belong to him. In fact, there's a passage of scripture in chapter 15 and verse 13 where David, the word came to David, and it's, here's what it said: the hearts of the men of Israel are with Absalom. And then he found out who was giving advice to David, and David thought, we're in trouble. Not only his son, but his country in many ways had forsaken him. And we'll see that in the text because like down in verse number 9 of chapter 19, when you look at the people were at strife throughout all the tribes of Israel saying, the king saved us out of the hand of our enemies, and he delivered us out of the hand of the Philistines, and now he has fled out of the land for Absalom. And then notice verse 10, and Absalom, look at this, whom we anointed over us is dead in battle. So you even find that many of the tribes of Israel were behind Absalom and his rebellion. And so those people are trying to hurt David. So we cannot, we need to understand not only did his son forsake him, but in that passage of scripture, verses 9 and 10, we see that some of his own country had forsaken him. And by the time David gets back into Jerusalem, makes his way back, the Bible describes his head as being covered, his feet as being bare, and he walked. He's weeping as he walks back to the city. His family, his army was with him, and the people who watched wept aloud as they saw him go. Now, I want just to make an application here because we cannot help but think of the Son of God, Jesus Christ, our Savior, who walked to Calvary years later, but there's a difference in the walk that the Lord had to the cross of Calvary and the walk of David back to Jerusalem. David's cross was the guilt and punishment of his sin with Bathsheba, and Jesus' cross was the guilt and punishment of your sins and my sins and even David's sins. And David's what I would call a sad retreat out of the city, down the mountain to the Jordan, across the Jordan River, 40 miles to the desert called Mahanaim, the Bible says, was a trip where he met person after person and group of people after group of people. And as there were those that he met on the way out, there was also those that he met on the way back. Now let me just give you some of these people that I want to look at. These are all from chapter 15 and 16, and our text is in chapter 19, so just hang with me. Hittai, and his Philistine army who kept fighting by his side. Well, let's just look at these. Chapter 15, we got time. We're not going anywhere. Chapter 15 and verse 18, and all his servants passed on beside him, and all of the Cherethites and the Pelethites and all of the Gittites, look at this, 600 men which came after him from Gath passed on before the king. Then said the king to Hittai the Gittite, wherefore goest thou also with us? Return to thy place and abide with the king, for thou art a stranger and exile. Whereas thou camest but yesterday that I should take, that this day should make thee go up and down with us, seeing I go whither I may, return thou and take back thy brethren. Mercy and truth be with thee. And Hittai answered the king and said, as the Lord liveth, and as my lord the king liveth, Surely in what place my Lord the King shall be, whether in death or life, even there will thy servant be. Now that's the kind of guy you're looking for. That's the kind of servant you're looking for. And then there was Zadok and Abiathar, the priests who were his, what I would call his pastoral support. Look at verse 24. And lo, Zadok also and all the Levites were with him, bearing the ark of the covenant of God. And they set down the ark of God. And Abiathar went up until all the people had done passing out of the city. So you have Hittai, you have Zadok and Abiathar, and you have the priests that were David's support. Verse 3, I love Hushai. Remember Hushai, his counselor and friend in chapter 15 and verse number 37. So Hushai, David's friend, came into the city and Absalom came into Jerusalem. And we know that Hushai was sent back by David to pretend to advise Absalom and really spy for David. And then there's Ziba. Now this is where the waters get muddied, in my opinion. Ziba, the servant of Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth, Jonathan's son. Jonathan, the best friend that David ever had, who David had allowed into the palace. Remember him that he brought, look in chapter 16, verse number 1. And when David was a little past the top of the hill, behold, Ziba, the servant of Mephibosheth, met him with a couple of asses saddled, and upon them 200 loaves of bread and 100 bunches of raisins and 100 of summer fruits and a bottle of wine. And the king said to Ziba, what meanest thou by these? And Ziba said, the asses be for the king's household to ride on, and the bread and the summer fruit for the young men to eat, and the wine that such as be faint in the wilderness may drink. And the king said, where's Mephibosheth? Where is thy master's son? And Ziba said unto the king, well, he abideth at Jerusalem, for he said, today shall the house of Israel be restored unto me and the kingdom of my father. Well, time out here. Absalom is in charge, not Saul. Now, here's my personal opinion, because we're going to look at the rest of the story in just a minute, but I believe Ziba was a liar. Amen. I do believe that. But sometimes you don't know who's lying and who's not lying. Then said the king to Ziba, well, behold, here's what's going to happen. Everything that belongs to Mephibosheth, I'll give it to you. You know why? Listen, why? Because David believed Ziba. Is that not true? Then said the king to Ziba, verse 4, behold, thine are all that pertaineth unto Mephibosheth. And Ziba said, I humbly beseech thee that I may find grace in thy sight, my lord, O king. All right, so you have Ziba, that's another person. He told David Mephibosheth had sided with Absalom. David, believing, gave everything that Mephibosheth had to Ziba. Then there's another guy. Remember old Shimei? I don't like this guy either. He's from the tribe of Saul, brave to the point of stupidity. He's a real brave when David's coming out of the... when he's on the run. He's got a different tune when David's coming back. Ignoring David's bodyguards, he threw stones and dirt at David, cursed David, called him names. David stopped Abishai, his warrior nephew, the brother of Joab, from cutting off Shimei's head. He basically said, let me take care of this dog. But David said his curses may be from God. I don't know. David didn't know how far God's judgment would go. Is everybody with me? He didn't know when he would ever see Jerusalem again. Chapter 16, verse 5. David, when King David came to Baram, behold, thence came out a man of the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera. He came forth and cursed still as he came. And then finally, there's a man named Barzilla. He's a good man, 80 years old. He brought food. He was a friend in need. He was a friend indeed. This was the retreat along the way. Now I want us to look at people that David's life when he came back into the city. First one we saw in the first 8 verses. And here's what I want to say. People in our life sometimes want to help us. And I do believe that Joab wanted to help David. When David heard that Joab had killed Absalom, his grief and his guilt and his anger drove him to the point of despair. Now listen to me. We can get in tribulation. We can have circumstances that overwhelm us to the point of despair. And even people can get into the pit of what I call depression. David covers his head. He goes to his room. And the whole world hears David cry, "Absalom, my son. Oh, Absalom, my son." Then we can read the psalm where David said, "Oh, Absalom, my son." I basically, David was so grieved that he could not hardly contain himself. The problem with that was he was ignoring those who had helped him. He was ignoring the men who had fought and died. He was ignoring the men who were wounded. He was ignoring the men who saved the nation and saved David's life. And the Bible says that the soldiers came in stealthily or quietly with no thanks from David. Man, there's a civil war going on. And before another one would take place, and we read about that as the story goes on, Absalom stood up and split the country, and David was too busy focusing on himself. Now, I want to tell you something about Joab. David, if you'll remember the way that Joab became the captain of the guard was David said, "Whoever takes those Jebusites, I'll make him the captain of the guard." Joab said, "I'd like that job." And I've been in Jerusalem, and we actually got to go to see the place where the water well was that Joab went up through the water well, and he came up on the Jebusites and was able to overtake them. When you're standing there, you're looking at it, you go, that guy was pretty amazing, a military man. He was not afraid. He was not afraid to fight. He killed Abner in the first civil war. He killed Absalom, and now he's going to kill Amasa, who David says he wants to make the captain of the guard. And David, in the leader in the next civil war, took matters into his own hand. In chapter 20, verse 9, he killed Amasa. So I'm just saying to you that Joab is a scoundrel in many ways. But let me tell you what Joab does. He goes into Uncle David's room. That was his uncle. He said, "Your men apparently mean nothing to you. You love those who hate you and hate those who love you. You better go out there and encourage your men or you're going to get deserted by the people. And the next thing you know, the problem that you have now is going to be greater than the problem you did when you were on the run." So here's what I want you to understand. God used this man, Joab, in this case, in these first eight verses, to rebuke David, and David went out and sat in the gate and thanked the men. So in this case, Joab was right. And you know what? Sometimes we just need a good jolt. You know where we need it from? The Word of God. We need it from good friends. You know how many times I've told my preacher friends, I got some that I'm closer to than others, but when we deal with problems, here's what I said. If you see me doing something stupid, how about rebuking me rather than saying, "Wait a little bit"? No, if I'm doing something that I should not do, rebuke me. Tell me. And here's what I want you to tell me. Same thing I tell people sometimes. Don't be a goober. At times we need a joke. We need someone from God to rebuke us and tell us, "What you're doing is not right." Now, let me tell you something. At first, when somebody rebukes you, when you realize they're right, at first you probably won't appreciate it. In fact, you may even resent it, but if we need it, then we'll realize that's exactly what I need. If we pray about what people say, even if it's someone like Joab, we can find God is in their words and we can be helped. Now, let me give you another application. Young people, you need your parents. Amen. You know what one of David's greatest problems was as a father to his children? He never said no to them. He let them do whatever they wanted to do. He never rebuked his children. He never said no to them. And that's why you have the trouble that took place when Solomon was supposed to be king and another son tried to overrun Solomon. That's why Absalom rebels against his father because his father, I don't ever believe, told Absalom no. We need people. We need a preacher to stand up and preach the Word of God. We need to be rebuked by the Word of God sometimes. We need our friends to say, hey, you're not going in the right direction. You're not going in the right way. Hey, by the way, if you go over to the New Testament where the Bible says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for what? Reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I'm telling you right now, we need people that will be helpers in our life. But second of all, there's also those that want to hurt us. The people disappoint us sometimes. Isn't that sad? They hurt us. They hurt our heart. They make us want to cry. And that's where we see, look at this. In verse number 8, the king saved the children, the tribes of Israel said, hey, the king, listen, the king saved us out of the hand of our enemies. He delivered us out of the hand of the Philistines. Now he has fled out of the land for Absalom. And then it says this in verse 10, and Absalom, whom we anointed, is dead in battle. Now we're in trouble. You know what the Bible's saying here? Sometimes those that we try to help the most hurt us the most. Don't leave me now. Y'all are not tuning out, are you? I'm telling you, yesterday I was talking to a preacher, and I hadn't talked to this man, and I knew about a missionary that was connected to him, and I knew that missionary because we had supported him a long time ago. And I said, hey, what about family so-and-so? How are they doing? And the preacher got real quiet for a minute and said, you know, we did just about everything humanly possible for this missionary family. And one day I get a text from him saying, we're leaving the church and I don't want to talk about it. He said this, that hurt. You think? The treason was against one who had done so much for them in driving out the Philistines. David had helped Israel more than any king had helped anybody when it came to the physical, the enlargement of the physical land of Israel. Nobody helped more than David. Nobody drove out the Philistines more than David. Nobody hated David more than the Philistines. But here you have these tribes said, well, you know, David's done a lot for us, but, you know, we were on Absalom's side. And people that we help the most sometimes often appreciate it the least. And then you see, look at verse number 11. And the king sent to Zadok and Abiathar the priest, remember them, saying, hey, speak to the elders of Judah. Now, these are of his own tribe. Think about this. Judah and Benjamin have always kind of went together. I mean, you think about when the kingdom splits later on after Solomon dies and Rehoboam comes on the scene. When the kingdom splits, when you hear the word Israel, you're talking about the 10 tribes to the north. When the Bible says Judah, you're talking about Judah and Benjamin, the tribes to the south. What tribe was David from? He was from Bethlehem. He was from that part of Judah, that part right there. And these, so notice what it says here in 11 through 15. And the Bible says, speak unto the elders of Judah, saying, why are ye the last to bring the king back to the house, back to his house? Seeing the speech of all Israel is come to the king, even to his house. Ye are my brethren, ye are my bones and my flesh, wherefore then are ye the last to bring back the king. You know what David is saying? This is hurtful. There are people who will disappoint you. There are people who will hurt you. But let me say this, my friend. You cannot allow that to dictate your life. If you do, you'll live in bitterness. David had some fears. All of Israel had no doubt of Judah. These that had joined Absalom, they're probably fearful now because David is not dead. And David is still the king. And David has Joab. And David has his mighty men. And David is still in charge. David could have marched back to Jerusalem like a conquering dictator, but you know what David wanted? David just wanted to be wanted. He wanted them to recognize that he was the king. The Judeans who joined Absalom were afraid of David's punishment. David, in sorrow, sends a message by his priests asking them, "Hey, why have you not sent for me?" And to steal the fears of the traitors, he said, "I'll make Amasa, my nephew. I'll make him the captain of the guard," because David planned no revenge whatsoever. Did you hear that? The Bible says he won over the hearts of... Look at chapter 19, verse 14. I'll just let you read it. "And he bowed the heart of all the men of Judah, even as the heart of one man, so that they sent this word unto the king, 'Return thou and thy servant.'" So basically, David is winning back the hearts of the people as one man. And they said, "David, return." And so David and his men went as far as Jordan at Gilgal, where their ancestors under Joshua had marched across that place. And Judah came down to the river, where in a ceremony they would bring the king and all of his followers across the river and up to the city, and it'd be a glorious day. David wanted to be wanted. This would be the most monumental crossing since the crossing of Joshua. But I'm going to tell you something. David was hurt. Be careful about that. But then there's people that not only help us and people who hurt us, guess what? There's also people that hate us. Look at verses 16 through 23. Remember old Shimei? So Shimei, the son of Gera, a Benjaminite, which was of Barham, hasted and came down with the men of Judah to meet King David, and there were 1,000 men of Benjamin with him, and Ziba, the servant of the house of Saul, and his 15 sons, and his 20 servants with him, and they went over Jordan before the king, and there went over a ferry boat to carry over the king's household and to do what he thought good. And Shimei, the son of Gera, fell down before the king as he was come over Jordan and said unto the king, "Hey, sorry about all that." You know, cussing, throwing rocks at you, throwing dirt at you. This had been a mafia movie. He's dead. And oh, by the way, Solomon takes care of him when he becomes king. But he said, "Let my Lord not impute iniquity unto me, neither do thou remember which thy servant did perversely the day that my Lord the king went out of Jerusalem, and the king should take it to his heart. For the servant doth know that I sinned. Therefore, behold, I have come this first day, and thou thou'st have perverse what that here, please don't do that." Truth is, Shimei hated him. But here's what I like about David. He did not take revenge at this point. He just told Solomon, "Hey, remember that Shimei guy? You might want to think about that when you become the king." Because I believe that he thought that he would probably try to do anything he could to come back. David wanted... There's people that hate us. There was safety in numbers. David did the politically correct thing, kept Abishai, Joab's brother, from cutting his head off. He pardoned Shimei with an oath. And so maybe David knew Shimei's repentance was fake, I don't know, concealed his heart. Maybe he knew Shimei, once he was dead, would pose a threat. Whatever the case was, there were those that hated God's way, God's word, God's man, God's people. Now let's move to the New Testament and make an application. If you don't forgive those who hate you, your life will be described by bitterness. Jesus said, "Love your enemies and do good to them that hate you." That is totally against our nature. Forgive those who hurt you. Now let me say this. Do it for the Lord. Do it because it's right. Do it for the person. But also do it for yourself. Yeah, you'd be better off to get in your closet and to ask God that you forgive them. Because hate and bitterness will sap your joy. It will take away your strength. It'll make you old and cold before your time and send you to your grave. Boy, I've seen people. They get so hurt. People hate them. People hurt them. They crawl into a hole. May God help us. Then there's people that you just don't know about. I call them the hoodwinked. You might say people will hustle you if they can. Now look at this. Remember Ziba back in chapter 16? Remember that story? Well, now all of a sudden you've got Shimei, you've got Joab, you've got the tribes of Israel, and you've got the tribe of Judah that have went with Absalom. And now all of a sudden up walks Mephibosheth. And David goes, what is this all about? Look at verse 24. Mephibosheth, the son of Saul, came down to meet the king. Now notice this. And this is why I tend to believe Mephibosheth over Ziba. He neither dressed his feet, nor trimmed his beard, nor washed his clothes. Look at this. From the day the king departed until the day he came again in peace. Now that don't sound like a man who's wanting to take over, does it? Sounds like a man that has let himself go and is hurt because of what's taken place. So it came to pass when he was come to Jerusalem to meet the king that the king said unto him, wherefore wentest thou not with me, Mephibosheth? Hey, Mephibosheth, why didn't you go with me? And he answered, my lord, O king, my servant deceived me, Ziba. For thy servant, Ziba, said, I will saddle me an ass, that I may ride thereon and go to the king, because thy servant is lame. So basically, Mephibosheth says, David, you know I'm lame, and I wanted to go with you, and my servant Ziba said that he would make a way for me to ride out of town with you. Instead, Ziba's down there giving David stuff and saying, oh yeah, Mephibosheth's staying in town. He thinks that he's going to rule. So notice what it says here. He said, my lord, O king, my servant deceived me. Now verse 27, and he has slandered thy servant unto the Lord the king, but my lord the king is as an angel of God. Do therefore what is good in thy sight. Sounds like humility to me. Okay, well, if you believe Ziba, then do whatever you think is right. But as you can see, my beard is shaggy, my feet are not dressed, probably bleeding even. I'm a mess. Then he said in verse 28, now listen, David, for all my father's house but were dead men before my lord the king, yet didst thou set thy servant among them that did eat at thine own table? What right therefore have I to yet cry any more to the king? And the king said unto him, why speakest thou any more of thy matter? I have said, thou and Ziba divide the land. Now the bottom line is, if you think about it, David's like, well, you know what? I'm not going to speak any more about this. I'll give you half, and I'll give Ziba half, and I'll let God take care of the rest. Can I say this tonight, my friend? I don't know what goes on in your home. You can lie to me. You can lie to your wife. You can lie to your husband. You can lie. You can hoodwink people. But the truth is, God knows what's going on. And David's like, man, Joab's trying to help me. The tribes of part of the tribes of Israel and the tribe of Judah, they hate me. There are those that want to honor me and bring me back. There are those that I don't even know what to believe. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll just divide half and half, and then God will take care of it. And Mephibosheth said, David, you're the king. You can do whatever you want. So the truth is, we don't know. I can have an opinion, but the truth is, I don't know. Is everybody with me tonight? Amen. Some people you just don't know. And I want you to understand, sometimes you just don't know what the real truth is, but God does. Amen. And God will make things right. Now there's this last guy that I want to talk about, but I want to spend a whole message on him next week. But there are people who want to help us. There are people who hurt us. And our reaction needs to be correct. There are people that hate us, and our reaction needs to be correct. There are people who will just hoodwink us, and we just don't know. But praise God, there are those who love us and who want to honor the things of God. And that guy was Barzillai. Thankful for a guy like that. He's a pretty awesome guy. And I just want to show you something here. He says in verse 31, And Barzilla, the Gileadite, came down from Reglam and went over Jordan with the king to conduct him over Jordan. He said, I'll escort you across, King David. Guy's 80 years old. It's not like he's a young guy. And he provided for the king's sustenance while he lay at Mahanaim. And the Bible says this, for he was a very great man. And you know what I looked up? There's only about four people in the Bible where God says they're a great man. And the king said, Barzilla, come over with me, and I'll feed thee with me in Jerusalem. And Barzilla said, King, I don't have that long to live. I should go up with the king into Jerusalem. I'm 80 years old, verse 35, and I can't discern between good and evil. He said, I can't even taste my food anymore. Boy, that's a bummer right there. I'm telling you, life ain't good. You know, the Bible talks about in Ecclesiastes when our grinders don't work like they used to and our hearing ain't what it used to. Poor Terry Randolph, man, he got an ear infection, had to take his hearing aids off. Hey, Terry, couldn't hear what? Hey, Terry! Are you talking to me? You know, the chick magnet, remember him? He said, verse number 35, he said, I can't even hear singing no more. Some of y'all are like that. Some of you are sitting out there don't know a word I'm saying right now. But he said, David, let me turn back and die in my own city and be buried in the grave of my father and my mother. But the king said, well, thank you for being a loyal servant. And I want to preach a whole message about him. He was a man of courage. He was a man of conviction. He was a man of generosity. He was a man of gratefulness. He made himself available and he was useful. People, people, people. What kind of person are you tonight? Are you a person that helps? Are you a person that honors? Or are you a person that hurts? Or are you a person that hates? Or are you a person that hoodwinks others? Help people when they're going in the wrong direction. Tell them to get back on the path. I think Galatians has something to say about that. Don't be a person who hurts and disappoints, but be one who encourages. As I mentioned in the message, let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. Be a person who cares and loves for the things of God. Be more like Barzilla and less like those who followed Absalom. Don't follow a rebel. Let me say that again because I don't think you heard that. Don't be following a rebel. Because you better be careful. In the end, God will even it all out. And a long-haired hippie will be hanging in a tree with a dart through his heart. Because God can take care of anything. Let's stand tonight. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Help us to be more like Barzilla, where the Bible says he was a very great man. I realize much of this is because of the judgment of God. But the truth is, David was still the king. And David paid greatly through his children. There is no doubt about it. Greatly. But there were still those that honored David and tried to help him. Hushai, Joab, Barzilla, Abathar, Zadok. And probably, and I say probably, Mephibosheth. One of them guys is lying, that's for sure. I always think, who had the most to gain? You ever heard the term follow the money? Well, Ziba had the most to gain. Because Mephibosheth, he was fed at the table of David. But you know what? I'm going to let God work that out. Just like I have to let God work out situations I don't even know about. God, help us tonight to be a people of integrity, holiness, helpers of the faith. Help us to be people like Barzilla. Help us to be a friend to those that if they're going in the wrong direction, we help them. Help us to be a parent tonight to be able to instruct our children in the right way and when they're going the wrong way to help them to get back on the path that is the narrow way. God, help us tonight to be the right kind of teacher, preacher, church. Help us, Lord, in all these areas of our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'll ask John to sing through a verse or so. God, help me to be the right kind of person. How about that tonight? Help me to be the right kind of person.